Welcome, everybody. My name is Louis Herrera, and I've been chairing the technology committee for quite a long time. And as it goes, we have had interesting ups and downs, and this year is no exception. And I say this because I plan to have a Microsoft representative standing up here this afternoon. And a good friend of mine, James Harris, who worked at IBM, decided that Google was more appealing and jumped ship just this week, which kind of pissed me off because it left us hanging. So I had to think in terms of what can we do to give you folks the best training possible and the best information that you could possibly get. I have asked a colleague whom I've known for a long time to kind of fill in for me because of all that's going on. It was a last minute decision. Stephanie Rood has been around assistive technology for quite a long time. It's sad to say, but I was teaching her stuff, and now the tables are turned. I go to her for help. And she's an amazing individual. She's an employee at the Veterans Administration teaching blinded vets, and she's been recognized. She's gotten recognition for her work and efforts with the vets from Washington, so she's not a lightweight when it comes to assistive technology. So we are going to have Stephanie start our program. And after Stephanie, we have James McCarthy and Damian Pickering from HIMSS, Inc. And for those of you that use the Braille Sense, and for those of you that don't use a Braille Sense, shame on you. I also am a big-time Braille Sense user, and I'm an evangelist, even though James hasn't paid me a penny yet. I'm still waiting for my check, but that's a different story. Nevertheless, so they're going to tell us about what HIMSS is up to, and I'm looking forward to hear because I fully endorse their products. And following James and Damian, the James and Damian show, there you go, we are going to have, I don't know if you folks have heard of a company called Amazon and Alexa, and all the cool stuff that Alexa can do. I managed to get them to come out to our convention. So after that, you will have the pleasure of having somebody like Peter Condisani and Peter Korn, and I've known them for quite a long time, and they're going to demonstrate to you how wonderful good old Alexa is and what Amazon is doing. So, with no further ado, I am going to turn the microphone over to Ms. Stephanie Rood. And Stephanie, it is your show, and I've neglected to tell you that she is going to do something that we all need to learn about if we all use iOS devices. What you're about to learn about iOS 9, it's going to be nice, frustrating, at the same time a pain in the rear, but then again, it's Apple. And it's universal access that we're talking about. So without further ado, I will turn the microphone over to Ms. Stephanie Rood. Are you there, Stephanie?
Thank you, Louis. I'll be using a projector for those of you who have some usable vision. It's on the left-hand side of at the front of the TED table, which is right behind me, which is right here. For those of you who do have vision and can't see the screen, I'll be using my phone on the screen, and I'll also have audio going. Yes, Louis did ask me last minute about 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night on Tuesday. So I'll give you a little preamble. I've been using the iOS devices for several years. iOS 9 I've only been using for a week. So there may be a little turbulence, there may be a little oops and bumps here and there, but I'll do my best to give you guys an overview of what's new in accessibility for iOS 9 and what's new in general for iOS 9. In addition, I'd like to let you guys know that currently the iOS just had an update yesterday, I believe, 9.0.2, that fixes, for some of you who are having trouble backing your phone up to iCloud, that's one of the fixes. I had one student who could not back up to iCloud no matter what we did, and that supposedly was the fix. So, I'm going to turn on the phone. Get the phone going here. Give me 1 second. I got to put the stem of the mic in my pocket so I don't drop it.
Okay. Button. Unlock button. Passcode field. Touch ID or enter passcode. Accessibility folder. 20 apps. 1:13 p.m. Status bar item. Swipe down with 3 fingers to reveal the notification.
As you notice, the voice I happen to be using is Alex. Messages. Alex one is one message. Of the more hogs of room because it's quite large. We now have some other options for nicer voices. We know that there's a male and a female Siri. We now have access to those voices. In addition, Apple has also made those voices speak faster. So I'll give you an example of how we can add some of these extra voices, like the female Siri and the male Siri. So I'm going to slow my voice down.
Handwriting, words, speech rate, 30%, 25%, dock, settings.
So I'm going to settings, general.
Settings, control set, do not disturb, Wi-Fi, off, but general, button, set.
Accessibility.
Accessibility, button. Accessibility, general, voiceover, on, button.
Voiceover.
Accessibility, back button.
I'm going to go down to speech.
Voiceovers, tap one, doubled, swipe, voiceover practice, speaking rate, speak hints, use pitch shape, use sound effects, off, speech, button. Voiceover, back button. Default dialect, Alex, button.
So that's my default dialect, Alex. And now if I swipe down again.
Rotor languages, heading.
Rotor languages. We now have the language rotor back in our rotor.
Add new language, button. Speech, back button. English, U.S. English, Australia. English, U.S. Voiceover, back button. Default dialect, Alex, but rotor languages. English, U.S. Actions available. Speech, back button. Samantha, default.
Samantha, default, which is what your phone starts out with, which is a compact speech taking up as little room as possible.
Samantha, default. Samantha, enhanced, using 169 megabytes.
Is a little bit
actions
better quality.
Available. Siri Mail, default. Selected, Siri Mail, enhanced, using 145 megabytes.
And it told
actions
me 100.
Available. Siri Female, default. Siri Female, enhanced, using 188 megabytes. Alex, using 869 megabytes.
So you see
actions
how much
available.
Larger Alex is compared to all of the rest. So you may choose to use one of the Siri voices to get a better quality voice, but spare some of your memory. So now
Speech, English, characters, words, speech rate, containers, headings, edit, language.
So I've changed my rotor to language.
English, U.S.
And it's a little, that's fast.
Default language, Alex.
English, U.S.
And I didn't add anything else. So I said English US, which was the male Siri voice.
More info, English US, button. Add new language, button.
So you hear how fast he is.
More info, English US, rotor language, default dialect, Alex, button. Voiceover practice, button.
Default language, speaking 35%. Language,
English US, speaking rate 35%.
35%. You see how fast swipe just 35% it is. It's quite fast.
Default
English US, characters. Words. Speaking rate, 25%, 15%, 5%, 0%.
At 0%, it's still...
Speaking rate, 0%, adjustable. Swipe up or down with one finger to adjust the value.
So they have, and that's for a lot of people who have been using speech synthesis for a long time, you become accustomed to the voice. So if some of you are new users or new to speech synthesis, at first you listen at a slower rate, and as you listen, your ears become accustomed and you slowly, gradually move your speech faster and faster. I have a colleague who listens to speech rate faster than I do.
Language.
Default language, Alex.
So because I'm at 0%.
English, U.S.
Character,
now come on, Alex.
Voiceover off.
That was me.
Voiceover on. Settings. Accessibility. Back button. Speaking rate. 40%. Adjust 30%. 20%. 30%.
So there we're at 30%. I turned it off and turned it back on because it wasn't responding. There is a few issues that I'll say up front before I go much further. With iOS 9, when you go into a menu and come back, it doesn't always come back to the same location that you stopped at. So let's say you're 30 items down the list, and when you come back, you want to be at that 30th item. A lot of times it will bring you back up to the top, and you've got to flick down or scan down to the bottom again or to wherever you were left off, which is a little annoying. Hopefully they will have fixed that in the next release because they didn't fix it in 9.0.2. So you can see that we have some choices. I can go back into language. I could add the UK voices. I could add the other English voices from the Europe. Another change or another addition for those of you who use handwriting and can't always remember the gestures or use Braille screen input as they oftentimes refer to it as BSI, you can now practice those gestures, not the writing or the brailing, but the gestures that go along with those, the gestures that go along with that input. So if I go to
VoiceOver practice button,
VoiceOver practice,
VoiceOver select selected general button, one of three.
General is your general tap, swipe commands, your rotor commands, your rub. All of the things that you generally use when you're using hand gestures.
Handwriting button, two of three.
There's handwriting gestures. So if I double tap.
Selected handwriting, two of three. Practice voiceover gestures, commands, and typing in this area. Select the done button in the top right corner and double tap to exit. Two finger flick right, insert a space. Two finger flick left, delete the last character. Two finger flick down. During text input, choose the next alternate character. On the web, select the next element. On the home screen, choose the next app. Two finger flick up. During text input, choose the previous alternate character. On the web, three finger flick up. Select the previous character set. Three finger flick down. Select the next character set.
So you can see if you can't remember something, you can always come to VoiceOver Help and do a few commands to find out what it was. Like oftentimes I might forget what the backspace or to delete the last character, which was the two fingers flick left. Which can be helpful. Now, if I leave this in the handwriting mode and go out of settings.
Home. Communications folder. Six apps.
If I activate the VoiceOver Help from here with a four-finger double tap, it will be in the handwriting mode because that's the tab I left it in settings.
Starting help. To stop help, perform a four-finger double tap or two-finger scrub or press escape on the keyboard.
So now if I do a two-finger flick left, you're going to hear the command for handwriting.
Two-finger flick left, delete the last character. Two-finger flick right, insert a space.
Because I left it on handwriting. If I had left it in Braille screen input, it would have given me gestures for Braille screen input. I'm going to go back using the app switcher, so I'll show you now that the app switcher has also had a small minor change. The home screen used to be to the left. The home screen is now to the right. In addition, they have removed the contacts that used to be along the top. That's no longer in the app switcher.
Home. Stopping help. App switcher. Settings. Active.
Also, for those of you who have vision, you'll notice that it, instead of having each app side by side by side, they kind of overlap like a deck of cards if you were holding them in your hand. And so the view is not as clear for somebody who's partial. However, VoiceOver will say the item you're on.
Safari, active. Swipe up with three fingers to close the app. Actions available.
Now, if I use the...
Close Safari.
What was it, one-finger swipe up? If I use that command, I can just do a double tap.
Closing Safari, settings, active. Closing settings, notes, active.
All I had to do was continue to double tap, and it would close each item. I wouldn't have to do the flick up again, or I don't have to do the three-finger swipe up. For some people who have difficulty with the three-finger swipe up command, that might be an easier option. So I'm going to go back to the home screen and go back into
home.
Settings.
Dock, settings. Double. Set double tap voiceover practice button selected. Braille button selected. General button 1 of 3 selected. General 1 of 3.
So I set my voiceover help back to general, because that's most often what I use with my vets when I'm teaching. I'm going to go out of voiceover help.
Done button. Done. Voiceover practice.
See if I
speaking
what
rate.
Else is new
speaking again. Rate. 30%. Speak hints. Use pit. Use sound. Speech button. Braille button. Rotor button. Braille button.
For those of you who use Braille displays, there are a few. There's one addition.
Braille voiceover back button. Turn pages when panning. Rows 1 to 10. Alert display duration. 3s button.
Alert display duration. You can now adjust the duration or how long that alert lasts on your Braille display. If it's too short, you can increase the time in which the Braille display displays that alert that has come up on your phone. For somebody who's a slow Braille reader, that will be a plus.
VoiceOver, Braille button. Braille button, rotor button.
In the rotor, we have added, they have added, let me go back to VoiceOver Help. The handwriting in the Braille display will not show up in the VoiceOver Help unless it's checked in your rotor. So if you don't have those two items checked in your rotor, it won't show up in the help. In the rotor, they have added something called text selection. So you'd go into your general, accessibility, VoiceOver, and to rotor.
Rotor button. VoiceOver, back button selected, rows 11 to images. Search fields, reorder text field, search fields. Rows 19 to 32 of 32, selected, handwriting, selected, typing mode, selected, text selection.
Text selection. Text selection makes selecting text with hand gestures so much more nice, so much more easier than it was before. I'm going to go to notes.
App switch settings, active. Notes, active. Access note, welcome to California Council of the Blind Convention 2015 in Woodland Hills. Body, system font regular, 40-point, dark gray, natural alignment.
So there's a few things, since I'm sitting in notes, I might as well tell you that they have also made some changes to notes. I'm going to start first with showing you text selection, and then I'll deviate into what's new with notes, and then we'll go back to some of the settings options. I know it sounds like I'm jumping around, but since I'm here, I might as well show you. So I'm going to change my rotor to text selection. First, I'm going to change it to words so I can get to Woodland Hills.
Handwriting. Words. Welcome to California Council of the Blind Convention 2015. In what note, text field is edited. Insertion point at start. Insertion point at end.
I used a single finger double tap to move my cursor to the end because I know Woodland Hills is near the end. Oh, you're not going to talk to me. Terrific. No, it's jumping from word to word, but it's not speaking. So this is another glitch that I've just come into. My rotor happens to be...
Lines. Words.
On words. So, well, if I go to the top, I'm still going to have the same issue.
Insertion point at start.
Yes, I know. It's moving, but it's not speaking.
Is Mike around? It would be nice if the people that are making comments could do it on a cordless phone so that others on the internet We didn't even greet the world, and we are being streamed live as we speak. So if you want to comment or ask a question, please raise your hand, and we'll get a microphone to you. I'm sorry, Stephanie, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I wanted to make sure that we can capture as much information as possible for our listening audience around the world.
Well, let me explain what's happening for both the audience here who can't see what's going on and for the audience on the web. Give me one moment to adjust my mic.
Welcome to California Council of the Blind Convention 2015 in Woodland Hill. Alert, undo typing.
That happened because I dropped my phone.
Cancel button. Cancel. Notes. Note. Text field is editing. Word mode. Welcome to California Council of the Blind Convention 2015 in Woodland Hills. Insertion point between.
So what is happening? I had it set to Word. I was had been at the end and I flicked up, which should go backwards one word at a time. And it was visually moving one word at a time. VoiceOver was not speaking.
Note. Text field is editing. Word mode. Welcome to California Council. Bottom of document. Hills. Woodland. In 2015, welcome to California Council of the Blind.
Okay. Let me finish this demonstration of text selection and then I'll ask for some questions. How is that?
Woodland Hills.
So I'm now on Woodland Hills. I'm going to turn my rotor to text selection.
Handwriting. Lowercase. Words. Characters. Words. Handwriting. Lines. Speech rate. Braille screen input. Portrait. Headings. Text selection. Swipe right to expand selection. Swipe left to shrink selection.
So it gave you the left and right commands, but it didn't tell you that there's an up and down. The up and down will let you select from.
Select all. Page selection. Line selection. Word selection. Character selection.
And I'm going to go to word selection.
Word selection.
And now I'm at the beginning of Woodland for Woodland Hills, and I'm going to select to the right.
Woodland selected. Hills selected.
Woodland Hills is selected. I'm going to change my rotor to edit.
Handwriting. Words. Lines. Speech rate. Braille screen input containers. Headings. Text selection. Typing mode. Edit. Make checklist item. Share. Define. Paste. Cut. F, selection deleted.
So now I've cut it. I'm going to move back to the top.
Insertion point at start of line. Welcome to California Council of the Blind Convention 2015. Note, text field is language, characters, handwriting, words. Welcome to California, California.
I'm going to change it to edit.
Handwriting, characters, language, edit, typing, edit. Select all, make checklist item, select, paste. Woodland Hills. Welcome to Wood. Note, text field is editing. California Council of the Blind Convention. Note, text field is edit. October 1st. Note, text field is editing. Welcome to Woodland Hills, California Council of the Blind Convention 2015. Insertion points between S and.
So there you have it. I moved Woodland Hills from the bottom to the top. Now I'll take questions.
One thing I found when the system seems to be going a little haywire is to reboot it. I know it's a bummer, but about half the time when something is happening that you don't think it should be happening that way, rebooting fixes it for a little while.
That is very correct. There are times when, especially...
More numbers.
Shush. Especially with iOS 9 running on older devices, you'll find that 9 was meant for iPhone 5S and up, but it will run on a 4S. Believe it or not, I have a student who's running it on a 4S, and it's working. There are times when this voice goes completely silent or the whole system freezes up. When your system completely freezes up, the best thing to do is to press your home key and your lock key at the same time, hold it for about a count of 7 to 10 seconds, If you cannot see, you won't be able to see that the phone goes off and then comes back on and the Apple symbol is visible. For those of you who have vision, you just need to hold the home key and the lock key until the Apple reappears. And this is a warm reset that will basically shake your device's brain up and put it back in place without resetting anything. So that's a nice way to take care of it. Any other questions?
Yes, thank you. I'm wondering, first of all, I noticed the first time you tried that demonstration, it worked, and the second time, it did not, and the second time it did. Did you go in and out of VoiceOver, or how did you get it to do its thing properly?
Well, to be honest with you, I think the undo shook it up. When I was trying to lower the mic, sit down, and keep the phone intact, because I have a cable plugged into the phone that has a heavy cord, and the cord made the phone drop onto the floor.
Okay, so when in doubt, drop your phone. No, I did have another question, though. Is there a way to remove the rotor from language from the rotor? I notice, and I'm not on 9 yet, I'm 8.4, but a few weeks ago, I got messed up in a Mexican Spanish. I do have English and a couple Spanishes on there, and I had forgotten about the rotor, and it took me a while to figure out what to do. Is there a way to take language away from that? Can you remove anything from the rotor?
Yes, you can, by going to accessibility. Here, let me rearrange myself one more time so I don't drop the phone again.
Home. Dock. Settings. Settings. Setting. Do not disturb. General. Button. General. Settings. Accessibility. Button. General. Back button. VoiceOver. On. Button. Accessibility. Back. Use sound effect. Row 6. Rotor. Button. VoiceOver. Back button.
So what I did is I went to Settings. General. Accessibility. VoiceOver. Rotor. Once in Rotor, you happen to have a list of items that you can add or remove from your rotor. You can also rearrange the order of in which your items appear in your rotor. So as I flick down, you're going to hear checked or unchecked, and then the next thing you'll hear is reorder.
Rotor, selected, characters. Reorder characters, but selected, words. Reorder words, but selected, lines. Reorder lines, button, selected, speech rate. Reorder speech rate button volume. Reorder volume button.
So you heard draggable. Volume was not checked.
Audio ducking. Reorder audio ducking. Punctuation. Reorder punctuation. Sounds. Reorder sounds. Hints. Reorder hints. Selected. Braille screen input.
So, as you can see, if language is in the rotor, because this is, I haven't gone to look. They just added this back in iOS 9. It was in our rotor in 6, they took it out in 7 and 8, and they've put it back in 9. Apple changed their mind. Any other questions?
Yeah, I got a question. What is containers?
I can't.
I noticed that you had containers. I was wondering what they were.
Oh, containers. Containers are very helpful when you're using an iPad. They're also useful in mail. If you've ever had the experience where you've been in mail and you've done a two-finger flick down and all it reads to you is the header and nothing more, that's because the header is a container or a main section. You can jump from container to container, and on an iPad, a good example would be for those of you who are not familiar, an iPad in settings, our first page is on the left-hand side of the screen, and any page you go to shows up on the right-hand side of the screen. To jump from the left side to the right side, you turn your rotor to containers, and then you can flick up or down to jump from the left side to the right side. Does that answer your question, I hope? Any other questions?
I have two questions. One, what is the audio? Is it audio duck?
Audio ducking. Audio ducking is, Louis may have to embellish on my explanation. Audio ducking is, for instance, when you're trying to listen to something and voiceover is getting in the way, audio ducking lowers the volume of voiceover so that you can hear whatever it is, whether it's a recording that you're trying to find out what number you're supposed to be pressing. However, I don't use it. I generally use my two-finger single tap to shush up voiceover. Mm-hmm. Louis?
Oh, I have another question.
Give him a moment.
You were giving him a moment. Can I ask the second question?
Yes.
Which is in the new iOS 9, when I go to calendar to schedule an appointment, I notice sometimes that it won't allow me
screen
to
adjust
dimmed. The time frame. So it's, you know, you go to start time in the Monday at 3 p.m. and I want to change the 3 to 1, and doing the flicking, it doesn't respond.
I will have to take a look. I haven't looked at it since I've installed 9, to be honest with you. Most of my vets, due to their dexterity and memory, we use Siri a lot. I do teach them the long way, but I first teach them Siri. So a lot of the scheduling I do in terms of adding appointments, deleting appointments, and changing appointments, I use Siri for my vets. For me, I use the general thing. However, like I said, I've only been using 9 for 1 week.
Okay. Can I answer the question on audio ducking?
Yes.
Okay. One of the things I can tell you folks that what Stephanie just told you is correct. The purpose of it was intended to allow you to give voiceover priority and reduce the volume of something else. Or you can configure so that whatever you're listening to can have priority, but if a pop-up message comes up, it's supposed to be, it's not supposed to compete. It's supposed to reduce the volume of whatever resource you have engaged. Even if it's in a multimedia session, it'll diminish the volume by about 25. You can specify to what level you want it so that voiceover can have the control of what you hear. Sometimes that doesn't work that well, as Stephanie said. So the old rule of thumb is two-finger tap. Shut voiceover up quickly and continue listening, because sometimes voiceover will start speaking without it having, you know, needing to do so.
I'll give you an example of that one, Louie. Just this week, while I was talking to my veteran and giving him instructions on something else, my phone was sitting on a table across from us, and it just started talking away. I didn't touch it. I didn't ask it to speak. It just started talking. I walked over and did a two-finger single tap, and it shut up. But there are times voiceover speaks without being asked. Okay, let me go on with some of the new things in accessibility.
Button. Rotor, heading, selected, characters, audio ducking. VoiceOver accessibility. Speak hints on.
Yeah.
Double tap to toggle setting. Rows 6 to 16 of 17.
Hang on a second. It's the connector to the mic.
Modifier.
Now I've disconnected, so I don't know why I'm getting feedback.
Toggle setting.
Well, it's not hanging, so I don't know. We'll see.
Navigate images, always button. Large curve, double tap timeout, double tap timeout, 0.25s, typing stop, rows 1 to speak hints, all, use pitch change, all, rows 8 to typing feedback, modifier keys, all, typing feedback, button.
Typing feedback.
Voiceover, back button. Selected, characters and words, hardware keyboards, heading.
So that's, we've always seen this, and I forget where, I gotta find where at, but you can also, it might be under Braille.
Software keyboards, heading. VoiceOver, typing feedback, button. Accessibility, speech, button. Grayscale, larger text, bold text, on. Rows 9, keyboard, button. Accessibility, back button, show lowercase keys, on.
I'll tell you about this. Under accessibility, not under VoiceOver, just under accessibility.
Show lowercase keys on.
Show lowercase keys on. is something for somebody who's got some vision and they can't tell whether they've activated the shift key or not. When the shift key is activated, the keys on the keyboard will all be capitalized. When the shift key is not activated, all the keys will be lowercase. So that's a visual cue for those. And it's even helpful, I think, for some sighted people who aren't paying attention.
This affects key hardware keyboards. Key repeat on button.
Key repeat. Key repeat is on by default.
Key repeat on button.
I turned mine off because I use a Bluetooth keyboard quite often. And what happens is it'll sometimes trigger a double type. I have a veteran who's heavy on his keys. So he, give an example, the word dog, he would press D-O-G and it would put D-D-O-O-G-G. So turning it off will help eliminate that. But if you have somebody who's very light to the touch.
Sticky keys, off button.
Sticky keys like on a computer, for somebody who has difficulty doing multi-key touches, will allow them to press more than one key. It can be activated with, I think it's 5 taps of the shift key.
Slow keys, off button.
Slow keys. Slow keys is to help slow down the response for somebody who's heavy-handed, perhaps, and they press down and hold the key for a long time, and that would cause the key to do a repeat. Well, with slow keys on, it'll take a moment before it registers and puts down that key press. And that kind of does that. Let me see if I can find the other.
Accessibility. Keyboard. Switch control. Off button. Touch. Switch control. Rose 5th. Hearing. Head. LED flat. Mono audio. Phone noise cancel. Noise cancellation. Left right stereo balance. Adjust the audio. Media. Heading. Subtitle. Audio descript. Learning. Heading. Guided access. Accessibility shortcut. Voice over. Accessibility shortcut. Voice. Rose 15 to 20. Rose 6 to 6. 144. Voice over. On. But. Accessibility. Back button. Speak hint. Rose 6 to 6. Braille. Button. Rose 7 to 17. Of typing style. Touch. Rotor. Button. Typing style. Touch typing. Phonetic feedback. Character and typing feedback. Button. Modifier keys. All. Button. Voice over. Back button.
Modifier keys. For those of you who use a Bluetooth keyboard, you can use the standard voiceover keys, control option, or for those of you using a Windows key, control alt. However, some people prefer to choose to press just one key. You can choose
modifier selected caps lock
to use the caps lock instead of the control option. One hint is when you are using the capital key or caps lock key for your voiceover key, you press it once and it acts as voiceover. If you want to invoke caps lock, you need to double tap the caps lock key and then it will turn on cap lock. To turn it off, you'll need to double tap it. Okay, and then
voiceover, modifier keys, all button. Rotor, braille, speech, braille, button.
Let me see
voiceover,
if I can find
back
the other
button.
Braille.
Braille display input, 6, braille screen input, status cell, equations used, show on screen, turn pages when, braille alert display direct, choose a braille, in progress, apex, zip, braille since U2000, braille since U2000, voiceover, back.
Unfortunately,
braille.
I can't remember, but there is a spot in where we can choose braille input, braille keyboard to be no announcement, keys, words, or keys and words. For those of you, and I'll try and find it, and I'll be here at the convention. There's one other thing.
Rose 8, double tap timeout, 0.25s, button.
Double tap timeout. If you have somebody who's slow at double tapping, and they don't quite get a double tap by going tap, tap, because it's only a fourth of a second in which the two taps must be done, you can increase the time between double taps to improve the double tap response.
Accessibility, L general, restrictions, off,
I need to look
off,
at my notes
button.
Real quick. In the meantime, any questions?
Hey, Stephanie and everybody. My question is, can you explain the difference between touch typing and direct touch typing?
I wish I could tell you. I've tried them both. They seem the same.
Thank you.
Oh, There's a gentleman up front who says he knows the difference.
Actually, I had a question. I know that you can modify the length of the double tap, but there's not a way to change the sensitivity for, like, say, a left and right flick or an up and down flick, is there?
Not at this time.
I didn't think so. I think the touch typing is where you slide your finger around the screen and you lift off when you find the letter you want. And what's the other one?
Direct touch typing.
Direct touch typing is for people who think they really know their keyboard so well that they just, you touch it and it goes in, just like a regular sighted kind of keyboard. So if you're really that good with your spacing and you can just touch an A when you want an A or touch an E when you want an E, then you can use the direct touch typing.
That's also if you have also partial sight, but you need to have a voiceover.
Okay.
Somebody else had a question.
Hi, Stephanie. It's
Settings,
Andrea Pitzenberger.
Back accessibility button.
Just a quick comment about the touch typing and direct touch. Jonathan Mosen says don't use direct touch unless you're really sure you know what you're doing. Because it's very quick and you can get in a lot of trouble if you're not sure. What were you were saying something about Braille that you didn't know how to do, but you were going to try to figure it out. You lost me. I'm not really sure what it was.
Okay. On as you know, we can have with feedback, you can have on the software keyboard, which is the one built into the phone, the hardware, which would be like a Bluetooth keyboard, and then there's the Braille user, the Braille screen interface. You can have feedback as none, characters, words, or characters and words, and you can set that to your preference. And I thought it was under voiceover, under keyboards, but I didn't see it there. Or it wasn't showing up on my phone. That, I think there's a couple other things I may have left out on accessibility, because I know there was something called touch accommodation, but at this moment my mind is blank on what it was for. So that brings me to some of the new features in iOS 9 in general.
Home.
One of the new ones is that
accessibility full.
The stock, two of the stock programs that are now added to your phone, whether you want them or not, is Find My iPhone, which I recommend you have anyway, and Find My Friends. I currently don't use Find My Friends, but it's now one of those items that's automatically loaded onto your phone. It also can be, a widget can be put into the notification center so that you can actually just go to your notifications and find those friends that you follow regularly and find out where they are. If your kids are supposed to be in college and they're not in their college location, you know where they aren't. So one of the other things that gets added in...
News. Double tap to open.
...is news. I haven't set it up, but I've played with it a little bit with one of my vets.
News. Welcome to news. The best stories from the source. Welcome to news. Heading. The best story, news and privacy button. Get started button. Get started. Pick your favorites. Continue, dimmed button.
So at least when I first started for the first time, it says pick your favorites. And we have a grid of choices.
CNN, 1 of 9, but ESPN, 2 of 9, The New York Times, 3 of 9, Fox News, 4 of 9, BuzzFeed News, 5 of 9, Time, 6 of 9, Button, The Wall Street Journal, 7 of 9, but Daily Mail, 8 of 9, but Bloomberg, 9 of 9, but Continue, Dimmed, Button, Continue,
I
dimmed.
Didn't choose anything, so it's telling me dimmed because I haven't chosen anything, so I'll just...
Time, 6 of 9, Button. Tap at least one to continue. Selected. Time. 6 of 9. Selected. Time. 6 of... Pick your favorites. Tap at... CNN. ES. The New York. Fox News. BuzzFeed. Selected. The Wall Street Journal. Daily Mail. Bloomberg. Wired. 10 of 12. L. 11. Vox. 12. Quartz. 13 of 21.
And it gives us a
button.
Whole lot more once I selected one item. I'm going to go down to the bottom.
Continue. Button. Get news in your inbox. Sign me up. Button. Not now, button.
I'm going to say not now. I don't want news in my inbox. I already got enough stuff in my inbox. If any of you got a peek of my mail, I got over 400 messages sitting there.
Not now. For you. Selected. For you. Tab.
For you. It's now populating items from time.
Unread. Two killed in West Bank shooting attack. Israel says the attack comes as tensions continue to flare between Israelis and Palestinians. Unread. Report. Plastic pollution in the ocean is reaching crisis levels. Plastic has...
So it automatically starts populating from the one favorite I chose.
Favorites. Tab. 2 of 5. Selected. Favorites. Tab. Apple News Updates. Button. Time. Button.
So you notice Apple News Updates is already put in. They put Apple News Updates in there regardless. It's one of those ones that you get. But you can delete favorites. Much like a lot of the other places with iOS. If we flick up...
Time. But.
Oh, terrific. I got to have it on actions.
Words. Speech rate. Containers. Headings. Language. Characters. Words. Speech rate.
Oh, and of course, actions is not there.
Edit. Button.
There's an edit.
Done. Editing mode. 35%. Remove time from favorites. Button.
Remove time from favorites.
Double tap to remove time from favorites. Remove Apple News updates from favorites. Button. Done. Button.
Done is in the upper right.
Edit. For you, tab, selected, favorites, tab, explore, tab, 3 of 5.
Explore will let you look around without adding it to favorites, but you will have the option to add it to your favorites.
Search, tab, 4 of 5, selected, search, tab, 4 of 5, search, search field.
So search was down at the bottom along the tabs. I went back up to the top to the search edit field.
In search field is editing, character, cap, hey. Three topics and three channels found. I, P, 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 L, top hit, R, E, E, C, chart, V, V, I, top hit, Apple Vis, three topics and three, top hit, Apple Vis, three topics and three channels found, top hit, heading, search, top hit, heading, Apple Vis, back button.
So now it should load up the items from Apple Vis.
Unread. 3 hours with the iPhone 6S. A voiceover user's perspective. Take the size difference with Unread. Apple releases WatchOS 2, bringing a range of refinements and new features to the Apple Watch. Apple has today released Unread. Apple releases iTunes 12.3 with voiceover fixes and more. Apple has sections. Podcasts. 2 of guides. 3 of 3. Button.
So you heard sections?
Selected. Podcasts. 2 of 3. But guides. 3 of 3.
And guides. Button. So it gives us three areas in which to choose from under Apple Viz.
Podcasts, 2 of 3. Selected. Podcasts, 2 of 3. Unread. Apple Watch quick tip. Using Siri to delete alarms on WatchOS 2. In this pod, Unread. Exploring some of the new accessibility features in OS 10.10.11 El Capitan. In Unread. Browse and listen to the world's largest library of free audio sermons with Unread. Apple Watch quick tip. Using Siri to act.
So you can access quite a bit of information. There's a lot more you can do with this. I was listening to a podcast this morning. Do I remember everything I heard this morning? No. and then the last...
Saved, tab, 5 of... Saved, tab, 5 of 5.
And save. The last tab across the bottom. The save tab allows you to save an article or an item, and you can read it offline or not being live, so to speak. That's the one thing I do remember.
Home. Newsstand folder. 1 app. Games for blind. Page 1 of 3. Accessibility utilities folder 17. Opening utilities folder. Notes. Double tap.
Going back
to
notes for a reason.
Notes.
I'm going to get out of this note.
Notes. Back button. Notes. Back button. Welcome to Woodland Hills, California. Search. Back button. Folders. Heading. Notes. 14 notes. Button. Recently deleted. 1 notes. 14 notes. Button. Recently deleted. 1 note. Button.
Recently deleted. You'll notice now that you have a recently deleted folder. So that when you accidentally delete something, which I have done, and then go, oh, I really need that, but I can't get it back. And so usually I'll go to my mail real quick, because most of my accounts are Gmail, hop into all mail, or go down to notes, find the note, and copy and paste what I need so that I don't lose it. But now I don't have to worry, because there's a deleted item, a deleted folder. So you notice there's now folders. We can create folders. Each of my email accounts has a folder, plus iCloud has
notes,
a folder.
506 notes, 10 notes, button. slrood13@gmail.com. Notes 560 notes. Morning call. 6 sir. Back button. Folders. Heading. New folder. Button.
New folder is found in the lower right hand corner.
Edit. Dimmed. Button. Folders. Heading.
If I go in and.
Notes 14 note. Folders. Heading. Folders. Notes 14. Recently deleted. 1 note. Notes 14 notes. Notes. Back button.
I'm in front, Louis. I'm in front of the head table. That's so that.
Four. New note button.
New note.
New note button. Back button. Note. Text field is editing. Character
now,
mode. Insertion point. Notes. Back button. Share note. Dimmed button.
Share note. Dimmed.
Double tap
I have nothing
to
share yet.
Done button. October 1st. Done button. Done button. October note. Text field is editing. Character mode. In show toolbar.
Show
double
toolbar.
Double tap to show the editing toolbar.
I'm going to double tap to show the toolbar.
High toolbar. Checklist off button.
Checklist.
Double tap to toggle
you can
the checklist
create
style.
A checklist, which is actually functional, so that where you can check something off as you're going through, like say the grocery store, or a to-do list.
Text style presets button.
Text style.
Double tap to open the. Four heading.
Headings.
Selected body. Heading done button title.
Title.
Heading.
Heading.
Selected body.
Body. Titles would be the very largest text, then headings would be slightly smaller, and body would be your standard typing.
Bulleted list. Selected. Bulleted list. Dash list. Bulleted list.
What is it saying?
Bulleted list.
Bulleted list.
Dash list. Bulleted list. Dash list.
Dash list. I don't know what a dashed list is. I know what a bulleted list is.
Numbered list. Dash
and numbered list. So you can now make lists and notes.
Note, text field, note, text field, is editing, done, button, done, photos, button.
You can
double
add
tap
photos
to, add a photo
to your notes.
Sketch, button.
And for those
double
of you
tap
who
to
have
add a sketch
vision,
to
you can sketch things into your notes.
High toolbar.
And there's the
double
high toolbar
double tap to hide
again.
The editing toolbar, show toolbar.
So now,
home.
You can also move
utilities,
notes from one
heading,
folder
text.
To another. So in other words, if you create a note, and it's in the wrong folder, or if you decide that you've got a new group of information that you want to put into a folder, you can create a folder and then move notes out of one folder into another. Is it time up, Louis? Well, how about I give it over because I don't want to start something new. I'll take questions for the next minute and a half.
Closing utilities folder, accessibility folder, screen locked.
Hi, Stephanie. It's Andrea again. To go back to news for just a minute, I tried to share a story, and I can't remember if I did a message or tried to send it to Facebook, and it seemed a little complicated. Have you tried doing that?
Share from...
From the news app, like if you have...
It'll send the link, I think.
Okay, it will send the link. Okay, that's
but
what I, yeah.
There's
okay.
A lot of thing, lot of new things, and share is one of the new areas that has been changed in a lot of places. For instance, in Safari, not only can you do email and text message, save it. Now, they have save to favorites and save to bookmark. Originally, in iOS 6 and below, everything went to bookmarks. In iOS 7 and above, they created a folder called favorites. Now you have a choice. You can save it in bookmarks or you can save it in favorites. What's the difference? Bookmarks is just a list of an area that contains a list of all the things that you have in there. You can create a folder in that area. Favorites show up on a blank web page as an icon. And you can go directly to that icon, double tap on it, and we'll go to that item. Printing, of course, but you can also now be reminded, I want to come back to this web page. You can add it to your reminders, and it will remind you that you wanted to come back to this page. You can copy it to notes. You can save it as a PDF in iBooks. There's something else I'm missing. You can also ask for the desktop web version of that particular page. I'll give you a good example of where I would use that for. My Earthlink account, when I go to the web view of my Earthlink account, I can read all the mail I want, but I can't do anything with it. If I want to delete the mail, I need to go to the desktop version in order to delete the mail. And it was a pain in the butt to get iOS to switch over to desktop before. But now there's a button in the share area, which will allow you to request the desktop version. There's a whole lot more stuff I didn't get to. If you go to Apple Viz, there's a podcast on what's new in iOS 9, which goes over some of the stuff I've gone over with and stuff that I haven't even touched.
And much more.
Yeah. Oh, there's a whole bunch more stuff.
Yes. Stephanie, thank you very much for stepping in. Give her a big round of applause. And this is This is fantastic. This is why I like to bring people to do these type of presentations. This lady is amazing. If I can only figure a way to siphon all the information off her brain and some story in my empty head, I'd be better off, but fat chance of that. Once again, let's give Stephanie a big hint. And let me tell you, folks, that Stephanie, you can get more of Stephanie on Saturday. One of the tracks workshop is navigating the web using iOS. And if I may put a plug in for my company, the Southern California Gas Company wants to be a part of the community, and that includes the visually impaired community, and they have offered to sponsor the Navigating the Web with iOS workshop that Stephanie will be conducting as one of our tracks on Saturday. So for those of you that are interested in learning more about iOS, Professor Stephanie will be more than happy to teach you. And I may even be a student and an assistant. I will be also demonstrating some of the things that she'll demonstrate on iOS. I will also demonstrate them on the Mac so that we can give you the opportunity to have variety. It'll be something that can be workable, and I'm sure that you guys will enjoy. So once again, thank you very much, Stephanie. And pretty soon, within a few seconds, James and Damien, are you pretty much ready? Well, wonderful. I am going to now turn the microphone over to our good friends at HIMSS, where your needs are their solutions. And I like their approach on a lot of their thinking, and it's great to have a person with a visual impairment like our illustrious U.S. operations person, James, who's visually impaired himself and understands our needs and can communicate this to those in the trenches building the products that we are enjoying today. I am so happy to hear that the Beetle is doing what it is doing so well. Unfortunately, you can only do so much with so many little dots. We need more dots there, James, and multi-channels, of course. So add the features of the Beetle to the Edge, and we will be happier than, well, can't say that. Anyway, so I am going to turn it over to this gentleman so that they can tell us all about the products that HIMSS has and the new things that are coming down. Hopefully, James will divulge some of the secrets. If not, we'll get Damien drunk and get the truth out of him. So that'll always be fun. But overall, I've known James for years, and I've also known Damien for years, and they always are great sources of information when it comes to assistive technology. Damien has been around through various companies and understands what it is that we need and can communicate that to his employers. And, of course, James has always been one who understands and lives our needs. So it's great to see that HIMSS is doing very, very well and is very determined to see that we get our resources. By the way, the new upgrade to our firmware, the 8.5, is out there for those of you that haven't gotten it. I like it. I like Bard. I can do stuff which keeps me missing my stops on the train. I keep missing my stop by several miles because I'm too busy reading, but that's okay. It's worth it. So I will turn it over to them, and don't forget that after James and Damien are done with their presentation, we will have Amazon and we're gonna give you a presentation that is gonna knock your socks out. So be prepared, be ready, and I'll be back after these gentlemen finish their presentation. I'll turn it over to now James and Damien. And welcome.
Thank you very much, Louie, and thank you all for having us here today. I'm Damien Pickering. I am not the newest, but a new member at HIMSS, Inc. I am the West Regional Sales Manager, so for all intents and purposes, I am your California representative. James McCarthy, our president, is here today as well, but he is preparing for another presentation later today, so we may call on him for some clarification or those secrets that I'm not allowed to tell all of you. So it is a thrill to be part of HIMSS. I have admired the HIMSS products from afar. It's been a mixed blessing because in recent years, working for the competition, it's been, yeah, those guys have some nice looking hardware. As a sales guy, it can be a lot of pressure, when you're at conferences like these and you're, working hard and you realize that you don't have the newest, nicest stuff on your table because all the customers, people like you in this room are coming up and telling you so. So kind of one of my jokes I say with a grain of truth as I came over to HIMSS because I was tired of waiting to have something new to share with all of you. My good friend Rob out there, Rob Turner, I joked with him earlier today. He commented that I'm wearing a new company shirt, and I said, well, you told me that you'd purchased a Braille Edge, so that was the tilting point. I had to come over myself. So I've been with HIMSS since July 1st. This is got one solid quarter behind me, and it's been fun and challenging ride getting used to all these new products, coming at it not just from the point of view as a sales guy, but as a user myself. So I imagine, I'm sure that it's true that there are people here in the room that know a lot more about the BrailleSense U2 and can tell me the history and so forth. So my goal today is not here to, to be a trainer or instructor, but to give you some basic information. I do want to share some things with you about the Smart Beetle because that is just one of our newest products, and it is really doing well. I'm very excited about it, so I want to show you some things about that. I do also want to encourage you to come by our table and visit with us here in the exhibit hall. And we do have show specials, so if any of you are shopping for technology or have some questions or have been considering HIMSS products, come talk to us because we're in wheel and deal mode. I also want to let you know that again, I'm not here doing a lot of training today, but we do have some events coming up that I want to share with you. On October 21st, about 3 weeks from today, we're going to have a HIMSS Day at the Braille Institute in Los Angeles at Connection Point, and this is an RSVP event. So we're targeting professionals and owners of HIMSS products, first of all. So this is going to be a workshop day, a 9 to 3 kind of morning session, an afternoon session with a break for lunch. So this is going to be presented by HIMSS and Sweetman Systems and hosted at the Braille Institute. So you can, anybody who's interested, RSVP to Philip at Connection Point. And if, we're going to try to accommodate as many people as we can. If there's more people than we're able to accommodate that day, we will be scheduling a follow-up event, and we've already got the commitment from Braille that they'll be willing to work with us to do that. We also will be present at the Best in Tech event in November, so a couple Southern California events coming up in the not-too-distant future where we will be. So I want to talk a little bit about the Smart Beetle 14-cell portable Braille display that has been out for a couple of months. And it, up until iOS 9, we had to change the Bluetooth name to BrailleSense and kind of fool the iPhone in order to pair the Smart Beetle with an iOS device. Now that iOS 9 is out in all its glory, the Smart Beetle is officially supported. So anybody who had one before, you can change the Bluetooth name back to Smart Beetle, and you'll be fine. So if you haven't gotten your hands on it, you know, that's important. Definitely come by and you know, give yourself that opportunity, because it's a device that's just got great industrial design. It feels great. It's small enough to carry in a purse, a pocket. The HIMSS Braille keys that that's one of the things I've always admired. I mean, I say they're second to none. They're ergonomic, they're quiet, they're nice. The whole thing just has a good feel. It's got kind of a playful red color. For those of you who know Silvana Rainey at Adaptive Technology Services, she loves that, and she says, "Don't underestimate the importance of cute." So our designers at HIMSS have taken that seriously. We're trying to, you know, put stuff out that is you know, a little more modern, you know, something that's not kind of your, you know, old school clunky design. So we know that people want to look and feel professional, be professional, and so this has great design, great Braille cells, all of that. Now, why the name Beetle? Well, a beetle has six legs. The Smart Beetle is able to pair with six devices simultaneously, five Bluetooth and one USB, and be able to switch on the fly from devices that you've paired to. Well, I mean, today's on-the-go world with portable display, you know, most people are going to have more than one device that they're going to want to connect to. So I've found myself, I'm a two-phone guy. I've got a work cell and a personal cell, and I'm carrying both of them with me. So why wouldn't I want to have my Braille display connect to both of those? I actually flew down today from Northern California and ran into a blind couple that are friends and neighbors of mine. And I thought, you know, yeah, that's another good example. You know, a couple can share a device, and when she goes out, you know, she wants to connect it with her phone. When he goes out, he could connect it with his. So there's a lot of good use case scenarios for why you would want that. You know, so it's not a completely unique feature, but, you know, there are a limited number of displays that offer that. So I want to kind of show you this in action. So I've got the Smart Beetle on, and it says pairing Braille on the display. And I'm just going to unlock one of my phones here. And I've got female voice on one and male voice on the other. So it's not so important, you know, what you actually hear, but that you can hear the difference in the voices. So I'm going to
15 p.m. Thursday, October 1st. Unlock button.
Okay.
Thursday, October 1st.
Okay, we're having a little, there we go. So I'm kind of crank up that voice, so okay. Oops. I'd like to get this volume up so you can hear this a little better.
Music. Double music. Double tap to open. Safari. Now, 600 400 phone. 3.8.2. Adjustable. Settings. Health. News.
All right, so I'm actually using space with dot one to scroll left, space dot four to scroll right. I can jump up to the top.
Double tap to open.
So, you know, your basic commands are working there. Now what I'm going to do on the Smart Beetle, I'm going to hit the power button and the function key 4, and it says Braille List. So I'm going to arrow down, and here it says paired Everett's phone. I was in Salt Lake City with Everett Bacon, and he paired with that. So I don't want that one. Active iPhone, 2 of 3. Go down again, and it said paired Damien's iPhone. So I want that one. I'll hit enter. Now it says connecting, and I'm going to go ahead and hit the home button on my other phone.
Thursday, October 1st. Unlock button. Thursday, October 1st.
Come on.
Unlock. Open camera. Unlock. Thursday, October 1st.
And it didn't do what it was supposed to do. Let's hear it for the demo effect, shall we? Come on. Where's Murphy's lawyer when you need him? Okay, let's see. It's just really cool when it works, let me tell you. And it works most of the time unless you're, you know, in front of a whole big group of people and you want this to work. Okay. I'm going to do the reboot technique that we learned in the first presentation here. Hey, how come Stephanie got the fireworks and, you know, I'm not getting those fireworks either? The system doesn't like me. Oh, no argument there.
2:20 p.m.
Okay.
2:20 p.m. Screen locked. Thursday, October 1st, unlock, open camera, unlock, button.
Yeah, now it's turned on. There's some other funny thing going on. You know, I'm just going to, like, talk about something else and then come back and, you know, see if it fixes itself. So one of the things that makes it smart is that multi-channel thing, and it works 90% of the time. I'm going to blame it on, you know, iOS 9.2 or something. although I can't really do that because I haven't installed it yet. Another cool feature, though, and this is something that is also on the Braille Edge, our 40-cell display, is the terminal clipboard mode. So for those of you who are working with Braille in iOS, you know that there are some little quirks in the Braille translation. For example, like when you are in an edit field, if you are set to Braille and contracted Braille, which, you know, if you're a Braille user, it's probably what, you know, mostly you want to do. If you type very quickly and smoothly and fluidly, you know, you're good. But if you pause, then you start to get these translations. Like, say, if you're writing my name and you write the M and then you get distracted and you pause, well, it writes out more because that's, of course, you know, that. And then you come back and you write Y and it writes Y-O-U. So now instead of my name, you have more-you name. So funny things like that. And, you know, a lot of teachers would say, well, what do we do? You know, how do we get around that? And, you know, up until I worked with the terminal clipboard mode, you know, I sort of threw in the towel and would just set to uncontracted Braille and type character by character, which was annoying, but it was less annoying than having to deal with that translation issue. So to do this, if you're in an edit field, you do backspace, enter, and C, and you get the message terminal mode. And then you Braille away to your heart's content. We basically give you about 1,000 character buffer. When you hit enter, it just dumps everything right into your edit field, and it, you know, that circumvents the, you know, doesn't matter if you paused when you typed it or anything, because then it will translate correctly. So if you're, you know, you have to do it sort of one page at a time, but that allows you to set yourself up in contracted Braille and not have to worry about the translation issue. There's a question back there. Can we either we can get you a microphone or I can repeat your question for the streaming.
Hi, Damien. This is Andrea Pitzenberger from Access Ingenuity. Hello. And my question is, will that work on the BrailleSense U2 as well? Because I have a U2 Mini. Will it work on the U2? You were talking, I think you mentioned right. The Edge. Does it work on the U2 Mini?
We don't have terminal mode set in the U2 yet. But, you know, I will definitely pass that on to our developers. And, you know, if we can do it on two of our products, why couldn't we do it on three? Yes, another question.
This is Louis. I have a BrailleSense U2, and it is my understanding that the U2 is, and correct me if I am wrong, because sometimes I don't pay attention. So I'm hoping that I'm correct in this. We have a terminal mode that which I have used to tie into other devices through Bluetooth, and it seems to work real well with both my my Android or my iOS devices.
So I will stand corrected by Louis, who has been using the U2 considerably longer than I have, and so hopefully that is a positive answer to your question, Andrea. Another question.
Someone bring a mic around. Hi, Damien. It's Steve Bauer. Can you explain again how to? I'm also using my BrailleSense extensively with my in terminal with the iPhone. But how do you actually use that line at a time mode. How do you type and then dump it into the terminal mode?
So in you activate terminal mode first. So on the Smart Beetle, it's once you're in the edit field, you do backspace enter and C. So try that one, and if that do you know, Louis, if that is the identical command, or if we don't know, we'll get the clarification for you shortly, Steve. But it's a great feature. So any other questions from there, from the audience?
Hello? Wait, I have a question.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So does it work on my Mac, since I have one and I need to use Braille with it? Can I pair one of your devices?
Yes, you can. Yeah, all of our Braille devices.
On this terminal thing, is there a way to mimic iPhone cords, iPhone commands, and embed them into the terminal thing?
This is, as far as I know, and correct me, Louis, or anyone else, if you're wrong. I mean, this is basically just a simple linear kind of text editor. So it's not... it's not like a macro builder. On the Braille sense, you do have a macro manager, and you're able to, you know, to create macros to do various things. But this terminal mode is, you know, not quite as sophisticated as that.
And so once I've done the backspace, enter C, when I'm ready to drop it in, do I just...
You just hit enter.
Oh, just press enter. Thanks.
Yeah, so backspace enter C invokes terminal mode. Just start brailing, and it kind of... you're still connected to your iDevice, but you're, you know, there's a delay. You know, the characters are going into a buffer. When you hit enter, then it just dumps it, you know, into the edit field. Well, if we don't have further questions, I'm going to ask you to come by the booth, and I will, you know, I'm sure it's just one of these things where I have to reboot my phone or just reconnect somehow. But I will show you this Smart Beetle switching back and forth between multiple devices on the fly, because it happens seamlessly, like I say, 90%+ of the time, and it's very, very cool. So we'll be here for the duration. Remember, October 21st at the Braille Institute with HIMSS and Sweetman Systems. RSVP if you are interested. And thanks for having us. I want to yield the floor to Peter Contisani and Amazon.
Thank you, Damien. And we'll have to check out some of this device. I want to try something with the Smart Beetle and my Android phone, see how it does. I've been curious about doing something with TalkBack or BrailleBack and see how that works. So it'll be a test. Now, for those of you who shops at Amazon, all right. Who likes Alexa? Alexa is the babe. Let me tell you something. She never says no. She always says yes. And sometimes she's rude enough to say, I don't understand what you're asking. So, but it's okay. Unlike my wonderful wife, a beautiful wife, I can pull the switch on Alexa. So, but anyway, we're very fortunate to have two people from, not one, but two people. Talk about P Square, Peter Contisani and Peter Korn. So we have two people from Amazon to talk about the wonderful products that Amazon has available that are very accessible. And I must make it known to the world that just yesterday, Amazon launched and released their new line of tablets, affordable tablets, no less, unlike the iPad that costs so much money, or some other good Android devices that cost too much money. This Amazon tablets sound very good. I was listening to them work with them in the back, and I was impressed. I need one because I don't have one. Not that I have to have it, but I need one. Anyway, so CCB is the first place where they are showcasing this new technology. And I think it's wonderful that we get a chance to hear first. Right on. Give them a hand. All right. SeaWorld, see what California can do? We are the ones that are going to be setting a trend here. And it starts here at CCB 2015 in Woodland Hills. So I am anxious to hear about all the good stuff that Amazon is doing. And I'm looking forward to also getting my hands on some of those products. And so I hope that you folks enjoy the presentations. And I will turn this microphone over to a man that I've known for years and years. For those of you that are longtime Mac users and remember a thing called Outspoken, I was a user of that. I was also a Unix administrator and programmer from time to time. And if it wasn't for Peter Korn, who was the brains behind some of the tools that I used, and who also gave me direction on how to get around certain difficulties with Unix, it worked out real well, and I was very successful. I worked in aerospace for many years, and my job was to navigate from platform to platform. Alexa. I was like an orphan child that didn't have a home, so it's okay. I loved it. Nevertheless, he is accompanied by Peter Contisani, who all of you in the Northern California area know quite well. Peter has been around assistive technology for a long time. And although he does not admit to it, but I think that the Amazon devices, like the Kindle and other devices, may be too advanced for him. So I'm trying to take him away from him, but he's not going to let me. So I guess we'll let him do their presentation, and I will harass them later. I must tell you guys something. I read some articles about VoiceView. You guys heard of VoiceOver? VoiceOver now has a cousin, VoiceView. And VoiceView is a new screen reader that Amazon is using. And everything that I've seen in the test demo that I had the privilege of hearing, it's going to be something that's going to rival a lot of things out there. And we are now in a position where we can look at various platforms for our needs. And since most of us do have a bad habit of spending money and shopping, you might want to get something like this that is compatible with your shopping place like Amazon. In all honesty, I've always been lazy to use Amazon till recently. And part of the reason was certain things were somewhat accessible, fairly accessible, and sometimes damn difficult to use. But when we submit feedback to Amazon, people listen. And now their website is very accessible, very useful. And I have no problem going online to research things and buy things online all the time without a problem. So it's something that you folks are going to appreciate, I hope, and know that there is an alternative. In terms of Alexa, how would you like to be able to do things without even touching your computer or your mobile device? Just talking to this device. It's a neat approach to doing things using modern technology, and this is where technology is going. We have, you know, I remember way back when we had to build boards and wire chips and things of that nature. And some of my coworkers asked me if I used to carve my reports on rocks. Well, not quite that old, but I started way back in 77 and have been around technology for quite a while. But nowadays, looking at what is doable, what technology has made possible for us in terms of, you know, not being fully dependent on assistance. Companies like Amazon and people like Peter Korn have done extremely well to bring those affordabilities to us. So now I think they're ready, so I will turn the microphone over to them and let's learn about these new toys.
Louis, thank you very much. It is a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting us and giving us this opportunity to talk about the accessibility of our devices with me and actually the first person who was invited, because he's much more important, I think, is Peter Contisani, who is going to be demoing with me some of the toys that we have. The first thing that I want to talk about is our new Fire tablets. This is a new line of tablet computers. We released them yesterday, so this is the very first time that I'm aware of that we're being shown in the public. And we're going to debut some very cool things on it. The tablet lineup that we have starts with our Fire tablet. That's its name. It's got a 7-inch display, a quad-core 1.3 gigahertz processor, 8 gig of storage, expandable to 128 with an SD slot, a front-facing camera, a rear-facing camera. It'll go 7 hours of reading or surfing the web or watching video or listening to music. It's 11 ounces, and it costs $49.99. But, you know, we thought that wasn't the only interesting way to buy this, so we've put it together into a six-pack for $250. Buy five, get one free. In addition, we have our Fire HD6. This is a 6-inch high-resolution device. It's a carryover from something that we had last year. It's a little faster. It's a quad-core 1.6 processor, has Dolby built in, also 8 or 16 gigabytes of storage, expandable with SD to 128. It'll go 8 hours of reading, surfing the web. It's $99. Then we have the 8-inch display, the Fire HD8. Has Dolby Atmos, dual stereo speaker, same amount of memory, expandable, 7 hours of reading, surfing for $149.99. And then finally, what I've got here in my hands is the Fire HD10, a 10-inch display, quad-core processor, Dolby Atmos, et cetera, for only $229. All of these tablets come with our new Fire OS 5, codenamed Bellini. They have customer support built in and free, including something called Mayday screen sharing, so you can get support over the internet. Our agent can see what's on your screen and help you through the problems, as well as email, web, phone. These tablets work very nicely with Prime, which you can try for free for a month to stream thousands of movies and TV and 300,000 apps and games available. We have a cool thing called Amazon Underground, which is free access to about $10,000 worth of games and in-app free items. There's something called Kindle Unlimited, where your tablet becomes a gateway to over 1 million books, thousands of audiobooks, for just $9.99 a month. Something called the Prime Kindle Owners Lending Library, which is another place you can borrow a book from a library of 800,000 titles for free, with no waiting and no due dates. Speaking of libraries, there's something called Family Library that allows you to link your account to that of your spouse or partner, enabling you to share books, audiobooks, apps, and more. If you're a Prime member, you can share your Prime Video content. You can also use your tablet with Goodreads to find your next favorite book. There are more than 40 million members of Goodreads who are sharing their recommendations, book highlights, and more. We have a neat thing called for families with kids, where you can make use of kid profiles. So the same device can be an adult tablet or a kid's personalized tablet, with free time enabling you to select the books, apps, games, and videos you want them all to have access to, or limit their screen time for some things like games, but not others like book reading. Something called Free Time Unlimited, which is unlimited access to a broad range of books, games, educational apps selected for kids for $2.99 a month. And finally, a special Fire Tablet Kids Edition, which comes with 1 year free of Free Time Unlimited and a kid-proof case and a 2 year worry-free guarantee. But enough of the sales spiel. Let's take a look at some of the cool accessibility features in our tablets, starting with our own from scratch screen reader, VoiceView. Peter?
Let me put this up here so you can be hands-free.
Okay. Well, thanks very much, Peter. And I'm glad to be down here again. And I don't have a audio for this. So
do you
we're
have the audio out from the sub-microphone?
So
the headphone jack audio out?
Anyway, what I'm going to do is play around with the littlest of the smallest, the cheapest of the tablets, just to show you, because I think for $50, it's an amazing deal. And with our new screen reader, VoiceView, it becomes an incredibly useful little product that will fit in a purse or large jacket pocket. anyway, I'll put it up against the microphone so you can hear it.
Device unlocked. The current highest rated places in Los Angeles, California. List. 5 items.
So we're actually in a web page, but I'm going to go back home to the home screen so you can get an idea what that looks like. And basically we're using a swipe left, swipe right with one finger to go from item to item, just like you would see in TalkBack or VoiceOver.
Button. Fire Launcher. Home. Search.
So we have our voice, which is very similar to, if you've ever heard another Amazon tablet, it's. I think we have one of the best voices in the industry. Anyway, this is just a typical type home screen with a grid, and it has tabs across the top. You can use touch exploration just like you would on any touch screen.
App Store, row, video, row one, column four, free time, row one, column five. Photos, row 2, column 5. Audiobooks, row 2, home, grid.
So you probably have heard these little clicks, right? So that's similar to other devices where if you cross a boundary and you find another item, it clicks that tells you that's now selected. So it's kind of like the selected icon, right? Okay, so now we have a special mic just for the device. That's much better. Okay. Across the top, we have a tab bar of 10 tabs.
Video, 4 of 10, games, 5 of 10, shop, apps, music, audiobooks.
So let's go to audiobooks, and I double tap.
Audiobooks, list, 5 items. Audiobooks, The New York Times Audio Digest, October 01th, 2015.
Okay, so this is Audible, so I can just double tap this and it'll download it. Then I can start playing it. And the hotel is a slow Wi-Fi.
Audiobooks. Lip. The New York Times Audio Digest. October 01st. The New York Times Audio Digest.
This is October. Juan. Good morning for Thursday, October 1st.
Now listening. Open navigation drawer. Button.
New York Times Audio Digest.
And you noticed that when it was talking, the voice of the audiobook was actually a little bit lower, and then you could hear your screen reader.
To fear run by Biden, and a Taliban prize won after years.
All right, we're trying to. It's not getting out there. Let's see.
Trip and new
Here we
light.
Go. A little higher.
Some questions if House Buddy can be the boss.
The New York Times Audio Digest,
bill
Chapter 1 of 20.
A shutdown.
Narration speed
in
1, sleep timer, button.
The Dow was up 235 and a half
there's
points
a narration
yesterday.
Speed, so if your speed
UAW
is too
is
slow,
set
you can
to
speed
reject
it up.
Fiat Chrysler contract.
The New York Times ad bookmark.
Prepares to open its
play button.
And so this is pretty standard stuff. So basically, we're able to navigate the book. You can move your finger around, find different spots. We have gestures that get you out of this app by, if you want to go back to the home screen, leave the app running in the background, you swipe up and then to the left.
Fire Launcher, audiobooks, search.
Okay, so, well, of course, we have things like changing the speed of the voice.
Let's quick settings. Audiobooks, list, overview.
So overview. I know I have settings already running. So.
Audiobooks, Peter's 12. Audiobooks.
I'm going to show you one while I'm here. I'm going to show you something. So just like in you would expect. So if you swipe and swipe and swipe, you get to the beginning of the list.
Audio Peter.
There's your barrier. You're done.
dismiss Silk browser. Silk browser. Dismiss settings. Settings.
Let's go to settings. I'll show you a little bit about
Wi-Fi.
The navigate voiceover. Voice
connected to
voice
Hunter's
view
under
settings.
MPM. Edge and Go Engineer Woodland Hill. Verizon Mi 555-10L6B4D. Peter's iPhone. Saved. 6 of 18.
Okay, we're in the Wi-Fi. I have to back out because I was there before.
Navigate up. Settings.
There is a back gesture, so you don't care where you are in the page. You can just do a back gesture to go out of that screen and back up to the previous screen.
Profiles and parental control. Security. Sound and notification.
You heard a click, click. That means the screen has just scrolled a bit.
Keyboard and link. System. Sync device. Help. Accessibility. Accessibility.
And there's my accessibility settings.
Accessibility.
And
navigate
that
up.
Sound,
button.
That means the screen has been rendered.
Hearing settings. Closed captioning is off. Show
so we have
closed
a bunch of different stuff
video.
Along with voice.
Screen magnifier is off. Voice view. Manage voice.
Okay,
voice
so
view.
We're in voice
navigate.
View and you can hear.
Voice view volume. Match device volume. Feedback tone volume. Match device key echo. Key echo. Characters. 5 of 8.
So we got key echo, you can do characters and words, characters and words.
Punctuation level, sum, 6 of 8.
And we can go from punctuation level to none, sum, most, and all.
Voice view tutorial, 7 of 8.
And we have a built-in tutorial that walks you through the basics of the screen reader. So before you even get started, when you first turn on your device, it's called the out-of-box experience, and you turn on the screen reader with a special gesture. The minute you turn it on, you go into a tutorial which gives you a basic understanding of how the screen reader works and what the gestures are, so you can start navigating through it.
Fire Launcher, audiobooks, search. Audiobooks.
What else can we
list.
Do? We can read regular books, Kindle books.
Apps, search.
Well, first I'm going to do a search because I'm going to just look for this book. And that's the
Unified
sound that
search.
Says the keyboard is
exit
up.
Exit search.
So
button.
We're going to look for Alice's Wonderland.
A. K. L. Lima. L.
Now you noticed it actually had a military spelling.
I. U. U.
Whoops, I hit the wrong key.
Search. Delete. U. O. I. U. I. I. C. R. E. E.
So this may be enough.
Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, Carol Lewis.
It was. So I'm going to just select that.
Amazon Kindle. Page content, out what she was coming to, but it was too dark to see anything. Then she looked at the sides of the well and noticed that they were filled with cupboards and bookshelves. Here and there she saw maps and pictures hung up.
Okay, we'll stop
page
it.
Content,
but now what you can
what
do, which I believe
to,
we're the only ones doing this, is you can actually touch the screen.
Alice, to, herself. After.
I'm dragging my finger down the line and actually touching each word as I read it. So I can do things like I can select the word or I can go to a menu that lets me navigate the book.
Showing menu.
So now I'm going to bring up what's called a navigation panel.
Navigation panel. Search results. Navigate up. Button. List. 0 items.
Whoops.
Navigate up. Button.
Not sure why.
Amazon.
But...
page content. Up.
Okay, let's showing try this menu. Again.
Oh, Peter's 12th 5. Oh, dismiss overlays. This open navigation drawer button. Close navigation
okay,
drawer.
Okay, so now
button.
When you have the you have
view, notebook, Goodreads, bookmarks, more options button, back button.
So you have a bunch of choices.
12, chapter 3, 6, chapter 2.
So I can go through chapter by chapter.
Library.
You can go to the library, so you can go to the other books you might have in your library.
The Einstein Prophecy. Marcello, Robert, Book 9, Alice's Adventures in
there's
the,
Alice's.
The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes, Doyle, Sir Arthur Conan,
and of course,
Book 9
you can always visit the store if you want to get more books.
Store. Bookstore, Wellview, Bookstore, Wellview, Kindle
okay, maybe
Store,
maybe I want to
Wellview.
Look for specific things. So again, I might want to find my navigation panel.
Kindle Store, Wellview, Peter's 12th Fire, 5. List. Kindle Store. Library. Sir. Left panel. Button. Bookstore. One of. Storefront. Browse categories. 7 of 15.
So we're going to browse categories, maybe?
Bookstore. Bookstore. Wellview. Comics and graphic novels. 71. Comics and graphic novels. 71,860.
So it tells you how many of any category you might have to choose from.
Computers and technology, 62,469.
So computers and technology.
Computers and technology.
62,000 plus books.
62,469.
There you go. And so when you swipe through these things, the first ones you get, it essentially gives you the everything. It gives you the category and it gives you the number of books. As you swipe, then you'll get each individual item, so you can hear. I'll just do one more of these.
Cookbooks, food and wine, 64,284.
Okay, so it told me everything, but now if I swipe again, it's just going to give me the heading.
Cookbooks, food and wine.
And then it's going to give me the numbers.
64,284.
Okay, at this point, I'm going to pause and see if there are any questions or... any...
Reverse landscape, bookstore, Kindle store, Wellview, portrait.
Okay. Is this the mic that you need, the portable one? Mic's almost to you.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Peter, you said it was out of the box as far as accessibility. Could you just elaborate on that a little bit? Thanks.
Sure. So when you get it out of the box, and this will be published on the website, there is a special gesture you do. You turn it on, you put the, you wait probably a minute or two, and then you hold the power button, and you'll hear a sound, like a special earcon sound. And once you hear that, then you put two fingers on the screen and hold them there until you hear it talking. And then it's going to tell you to hold them for another second, and then it turns it on by automatically. So now your screen reader is turned on. And as soon as that happens, and then it'll say, welcome to screen reader tutorial or voice view tutorial. And the first page is a lot of explanation, mostly just listen. And then it'll ask you to find the next button, and you go and you walk through all the various lessons. There's a few. Probably we'll have more of them as the product, you know, has more features. But at this point, we try to make it as simple and powerful as possible. You don't really have to learn a whole lot. There's a few. There's like the scroll gesture, the go back to the previous screen, go to home screen, bring down notifications.
Discovery is complete. I found two connected home devices.
How dare you interrupt me?
If your Philips bulbs were not discovered. Please press the button on the bridge and rerun Discovery.
Sorry about that.
She's very rude, I think. Anyway, any other questions?
No, just a quick question. I know there were several different tablets that were described. Is this accessibility built into each one?
It's in all of them. No matter which tablet you get, you'll have accessibility.
Does this have Braille support? So those of us who read and write Braille, can we...
Well, the accessibility architect is sitting here next to me, so I'm going to pass this on to him.
So in our first version, Braille support is provided via BrailleBack in the Amazon App Store. So there is Braille support, and it's the standard way that Android has supported Braille via BrailleBack.
Yeah, so with, and you know, it's just not tightly coupled to speech, unfortunately, which is, you know, that's what happens in TalkBack, and that's,
it's in there.
Anyway, those of you who know Android, you know.
Home button.
I have a question about the Alexis, I think it's called.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute.
We'll be demonstrating Alexa next.
Okay, all my other questions were answered. Thank you.
Okay. We've got one more question.
I noticed that when you went to the menu, you said that there was a large print. Does that work in conjunction with your voice?
So actually, I have here a device set up to demonstrate large print. So let me talk to that and give you that demo. Unfortunately, the HDMI output adapter is not working with the projector, so I'm not going to be able to display large print, but you can come up afterwards and I can show it to you. So I have on the 10-inch display, which is an ideal device for doing large print, I have two things that I can do with this device for folks with some vision. The first is in settings under accessibility. We have font size adjustments, and this is also an adjustment that you can make at the very start when you first connect to the device. We have normal, large, and huge. And huge is 1.5x larger, which is rather bigger than stock Android. Then on top of that, you can turn on the full screen magnifier. So with the full screen magnifier, you are magnifying the screen up to 5 times. When you combine 5 times magnification with 1.5 times font, that gives you 7.5 times larger fonts, which is pretty large. And I have that running right here. So now that I have that running, I am going to press and hold the power button until I hear a tone. That tone tells me that I can put 2 fingers down on the screen to launch the screen reader. So I have the audio right here. Let's press and hold. And it looks like audio is not being piped through. All right, let's see if I can do this again.
Keep holding down 2 fingers to enable voice view. Voice view enabled. Voice view ready. Lock screen. Peter's Fire HD 10.
As you can hear, I have it set to a somewhat faster speed.
Unlock button. Device unlocked. Accessibility. Navigate up button.
So I now have
back button, home button, overview button.
The screen reader running with magnification.
Home back button. Settings, apps and games. Display.
Okay. So the magnified display is not tracking. This is still the stock Android magnifier.
Home button.
Other questions before I talk to my new favorite friend?
Fire launcher. Home search.
So
this is a question for Peter Korn. Uh-huh. Being that you're sighted, and I know people have a problem with the iPhone when they turn the voiceover on and they want to demonstrate something to a sighted person, they're not seeing what the voiceover is speaking. Now, is there some way to have the voice view in sync with the print that's on the screen so that a blind person can hear it and a sighted person can see what they're talking at the same time?
Are you talking about a feature where everything that is spoken would appear sort of like closed captions for the speech, or are you talking about some kind of follow highlight that highlights the words as they're spoken on the screen?
Well, however you view it on the screen, because a sighted person cannot follow what a voiceover is speaking the same way.
Right. That's a fabulous feature request. The screen reader voice view came out of listening to several years of customers' use of our first screen reader, which was our repackaging of TalkBack. This is our version 1.0. We don't have that functionality today, but that's a great suggestion, and I will take it back to the engineering team I work with, because that's absolutely a very valuable feature.
I'm just surprised Apple hasn't gotten on the ball and resolved that issue.
Don't tell them. I'm only kidding.
I've got a question up on the aisle.
Yes. I wonder, when you mention about video, do you have apps for video editing, and also is it easy to share with YouTube or other apps?
Amazon doesn't. The question was, having mentioned video, do we have apps for editing video or for posting that video up on YouTube? I'm not aware of any built-in apps from Amazon that does that, but we have hundreds of thousands of apps in our app store. I wouldn't be surprised if there are several to do that, but I apologize, I'm not specifically aware of one of those. If there are no more questions at this time, I would like to move. Oh, there's one other thing I wanted to mention, by the way, about the magnification features that we have. We've done something a little special with our keyboard. If you go to large fonts, we make the keys on the keyboard large font too, because we figure if you want text bigger, you probably want all text bigger, including the text on the keyboard. So we make that text as large as we could fit in the space of every key. Great. So with that, why don't we switch to Alexa? Alexa, hello.
Hello.
Alexa, who are you?
I'm an Amazon Echo. You can choose to call me either Alexa or Amazon in the Alexa app.
You ready to go? To keep going from here? Alexa, what can you do?
I can play music, answer questions, get the news and weather, create to-do lists, and much more.
Alexa, set a timer for 1 minute.
1 minute, starting now.
Alexa, play some Norah Jones.
Shuffling music by Norah Jones.
Alexa, turn it down a bit.
Alexa.
Alexa, lower the volume.
Alexa, set volume to 2.
Alexa, turn the volume back to 5.
So Alexa is a cloud-based voice service designed to provide information, answer questions, no, let it go, play music, read the news, check sports scores or the weather, and more. All you have to do is ask. Today, Alexa is coming to us over the internet via Amazon Echo. Oh, that's the alarm. Alexa, turn off the alarm. We need to decide who's going to be running. We can't compete. Echo is hands-free and always on. With seven microphones and beam-forming technology, Echo can hear you from across the room. Echo's about 8 feet from me right now. Even while music is playing, Echo is also an expertly tuned speaker that can fill any room with immersive sound. And maybe in a little bit we'll turn off the microphones and you can just hear how well she fills this room.
Alexa, what was the Dodgers game score?
Sorry, I didn't understand the question.
Alexa, what was the score of the Dodgers game?
Right now, the Dodgers are beating the Giants 3-2 at the top.
Set the volume to 7 and then keep going.
Alexa, set volume to 7.
Throw its cover down.
Alexa, what's the weather like in San Francisco?
In San Francisco, California, it's 73 degrees with partly sunny skies.
We've got a question.
Today, you can look for lots of clouds with a high of 73 and a low of 55. Bring me
back. Alexa, pause. I see a question in the back.
Yes.
If we can get a microphone to you.
I'm wondering whether Alexa is only able to identify the user's voice, or if anybody else were to yell out something, would it answer them as well? Thank you.
Why don't you give it a try, but only one person at a time, please.
Alexa, turn the volume to 4.
She heard you. Why don't you ask her for the weather?
Alexa, what is the weather in Berkeley, California?
The volume got turned down. So, Alexa, listen to KOLA radio.
Radio call from TuneIn.
Alexa, set volume to 7.
They have like error and stuff, which is just absolute garbage. But when it comes to stuff like this, you can generally trust the BBC to be pretty good and not be incredibly biased.
Alexa,
they have no reason to be.
Listen to KBBS.
KBPS from TuneIn.
Alexa. Alexa. Pause.
Is there a book called?
I'm not sure. Let me keep going. Alexa, put milk on my shopping list. Alexa. Put milk on my shopping list.
I added milk to your shopping list.
Alexa, read my shopping list.
You have 12 items on your shopping list. Here are the 5 most recent. Milk. Sneakers. Milk. Clothing. Would you like to hear the next 5 items?
No.
Somebody must really like milk.
Okay.
You want to pair it with your phone? Actually, maybe I should do that.
You should do that because
Alexa, pair with my phone.
Ready to pair. Go to the Bluetooth settings on your mobile device and choose Echo
Messages
KD
Settings. 1 new item. Double tap to open. Settings. Bluetooth. On. Button. Bluetooth. Settings. Back button. Echo-018. Not connected.
No,
button.
I think it's this one.
Okay.
Echo I play with a lot of echoes connected. In my office.
Connected to Bluetooth.
All right. Now you can let it talk.
Alexa, set volume to 7. Oh, the volume's too low on my device.
Yeah. Not connected. Button. Beep 9XX Plantronics. Not connected. Button.
So you're listening to his cell phone now. Over the Echo.
So let's see what podcasts I'm listening to.
Double tap to open. Podcasts. My podcasts. Edit. Now playing. Button. Podcast out. Image. Track position. Time elapsed. Time room. Number 3. This American Life. Play. Button.
And then after a short time after this, he just wasn't around anymore. He was gone.
Play.
So there you go. So you can play anything from your phone onto your Alexa. And if you have Audible, you can actually have Alexa read the Audible book for you.
Alexa, play my audiobook.
Getting your book from Audible. Resuming Steve Jobs.
Introduction. How this book came to be. In the early summer of 2004...
Alexa, stop. I see a question on the aisle.
I saw you, when you created the shopping list on Alexa, can she import that to your phone to take to the grocery store to read the list at the store?
Yes, we will demo that actually in just a moment. At the end of the Alexa demo, we'll show you the iOS companion app.
I can't find the playlist demo in your music library.
Alexa, Wikipedia speech recognition.
In computer science and electrical engineering, speech recognition, SR, is the translation of spoken words into text. To see more details on that topic, take a look at the Alexa app.
Alexa, Wikipedia assistive technology.
Assistive technology is an umbrella term that includes assistive, adaptive, and rehabilitative devices for people with disabilities and also includes the process used
Alexa,
in selecting...
Alexa, what is the definition of profound?
Profound has a few senses. 1. Situated at or extending to great depth. 2. Deep to have been sounded or plumbed. 2. Showing intellectual penetration or emotional depth. 3. Far-reaching and thoroughgoing.
Alexa,
in effect, especially...
How high is the Empire State Building?
The Empire State Building's height is 1,250 feet, 381 meters.
Alexa, how far is the North Pole?
Your current location is 3,600 miles, 5,800 kilometers from the North Pole.
Alexa, what is the square root of 64?
The square root of 64 is 8.
Alexa, what is the square root of negative 1?
The square root of minus 1 is I.
Alexa, how many teaspoons in a liter?
1 liter equals 202.88 teaspoons.
May I ask?
Alexa, how long would it take me to drive into the office?
The fastest route takes about 1 hour, 3 minutes, via I-580 and I-880.
It assumes that I'm still at home. I haven't reset its address. So I've got a question on the aisle toward the back.
I'm wondering, can Alexa actually look up and find a book, Audible book for you?
So the Alexa is getting smarter and smarter every day. Today,
sorry, I can't find the answer to the question.
This is the trouble with talking about her.
You can't talk to her, but can't say her name.
So today you have to have the audiobooks already in your library. Once you do that, you can go by name to the audiobook, and any audiobook that's already in your library, you can do. You can also reorder things that you have already ordered on Amazon. So if you've made two or three different purchases, you can say, I would like to reorder this or that. I'm not going to demonstrate that because I'm not prepared to share with you what my orders are. There's a question behind the woman who just asked me the question, then I'll move around the room. Sorry, hang on. The microphone's not working? Oh, all right.
Okay. Can it record?
So it is not a recording device. There are a couple of sort of recording-ish things you can do. For example, Alexa, Simon says, hello there, CCB annual convention.
Hello there.
Oops. Didn't get the last of it. But that's the extent of its recording. You can ask it, Simon says, and it will. She will do a little something, but that's it. It's not a recording device. And it's not listening all the time, except for her name. After she recognizes her name, then we start listening for general speech, do the speech recognition in the cloud, and respond. But otherwise, no audio goes to the cloud, except right after her name. Another question? Has the microphone already?
Yeah, two questions. One is on the audio books that you're playing. Can you have it sped up or slowed down in terms of the speech rate? And then my other question is on my Echo, I asked her what's the longest word in the English language. So she stated what the word was and then gave a brief definition. But then I tried to get her to spell the word, but I couldn't get her to spell the word.
Huh.
You
Alexa?
Have to say spell the word.
Alexa? Spell supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious is spelled S-U-P.
Alexa?
R.
Stop. There are more questions, and the gentleman with a microphone will bring it to you. So just be patient, and it will be there.
How many sources can one add more sources?
So the number of sources, the number of things that she can do grows almost weekly. And there's also a way for developers to add skills to Alexa. One of the skills that we have added for the Bay Area is BART. Alexa, how long to take BART into San Francisco?
I can't look up business information just yet.
Ah. Alexa, load BART skills.
Oh, you have to do it from the app.
Welcome to BART Times. The next three trains from MacArthur to Civic Center depart at 3:23 p.m., arriving at 3:44 p.m.
Alexa, stop. So there's a growing list of skills that any third-party developer can develop and add. There's a standard web interface to add them to her on the server, in addition to the other things that she is growing and able to do more and more, as I said, practically every week. I believe we have a question in the front row. The microphone is coming to you.
Hi, I'm Nancy Younger, and I'm wondering, it's so neat, I forgot how much it costs, but anyway, everything's with your voice. Is it going to be able to do GPS and points of interest if you set it up in your area? Thank you.
So I'm not able to say what she may or may not do in the future. I'll have to ask you to stay tuned for that. She does not know GPS coordinates at the moment, but that's an excellent suggestion. A question on the aisle. The microphone has just come to you, then
yes,
we'll come back
you.
To the front.
Okay, great. I've got two questions. I'm subscribed to the list already to get Echo updates and so forth, but just a question about the best way to keep up to date. As far as when new capabilities are added, like this third-party BARD app. And also, I haven't done a lot with the iOS app, but it seemed as if there were some accessibility issues with it. All right. Anything new on the iOS app?
So the first thing, when you get an email, there's a link in it called What's New, and I would suggest you mark it in your bookmarks and then just check it from time to time if you want to keep up to date. Because, I mean, they usually send out these blasts every week. I get an email every week that tells me what's new, pretty much. It sometimes takes 2 weeks or whatever, but usually it's, you know, every week or so.
And to the second question, we did have a number of accessibility issues with the app at launch. A great many of them have been fixed. We will demonstrate that to you once the questions settle down. There's still some more work to do. We're not quite done with that, but as I think Peter will demonstrate to you, there have been quite a few improvements, and all of these come over the web. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Question in the front, and then a second question in the front.
Hi, I'm Catherine from Colorado. Since Alexa is in the cloud, it will work in any state, but how does a person get Alexa set up?
So, Peter, you want to speak to that?
So, ideally, what you want to, well, one way to do it is you first turn it on, and it creates its own hotspot. So with your phone or computer or something, you talk to it, and you log into it. It's kind of like connecting to a Wi-Fi hotspot, right? So then you tell it where to connect to, which Wi-Fi is your actual Wi-Fi. So you direct it to your own personal Wi-Fi at home and give it the password, and then it connects to Amazon. And from there, it's pretty much set up. There's not much else to do. You know, the app does allow you to set certain things, certain parameters, like make a sound when you are listening, and make another sound when you are processing my request, those kinds of things. But mostly, it's also, the app is more designed for managing content, like to-do lists and shopping lists. If you want to get rid of stuff, or you bought some stuff, you want to get it off the list, that's one way to do it. Plus, if you want to add other features like iHeartRadio, for example, and Pandora, both require a username and password, so in which case, in those cases, you either use the computer or you use the companion app. So you're not restricted to using the app. You can use your computer with, you know, JAWS or voice over, and go to the web portal and actually set your Echo device that way. And then once you set up iHeartRadio and Pandora, if you have preset stations on Pandora, then you can just ask it to you know, play one of those stations for you, or iHeartRadio the same way as you do. TuneIn is built in, so TuneIn, you don't need to do anything. You just tell it, if you know a station that's on TuneIn, you could just ask for it, or a particular podcast. You know, for example, you could ask for Science Friday or, you know, some other podcast that you know the exact name of, and it'll just find it from TuneIn and play it for you.
Another question in the front row.
Hi, I imagine the answer is yes, but can you look up recipes? For example, I'd like to know how to make a tequila sunrise.
You know, that's not a bad idea.
That's an excellent suggestion.
How do I make a tequila sunrise?
I don't think it's going to find
it. Sorry, I don't know the answer.
So, it's a good idea, though.
You could imagine very easily a skill of exactly that, sure.
A clever individual in this room might be able to write that skill.
All right, if there are no other questions, we'll get back to the demos. So another really nifty thing that she is able to do more and more of these days is environmental control and smart home stuff. So if the demo gods are smiling, I have a number of Wemo Wi-Fi switches that I have connected to our little network here, and we will see if she is able to control them. Alexa, turn on the bedroom light.
Okay.
And a light bulb in a lamp just turned on. Alexa, turn on the office light.
Okay.
And now we have two lights on at the front of the room. Alexa, turn off the lights.
I found several devices matching that name. Which one did you mean?
Alexa, turn off all lights.
Sorry, I couldn't find a device or group named Turn Off All Lights in Peter's profile.
Now I've tempted the demo gods too much. You have individual items that you can control, including Wemo switches, and there's Wemo light switches, Wemo plug-in-the-wall switches, which is what I'm using here, the Philips Hue light system. Insteon is now just recently joined our family. And what you do is you set the switch up using whatever mechanism they support, whether it's Philips or Wemo. And then you have a name for that switch, which you give to her. And you can then have a group of items with a name, and you can control the entire group all at once. And I seem to have forgotten the name of the group that I set up for the collection of lights, which is why she is not responding to me. Let's see if I have it here. Anyway. Let's see. Alexa, tell me a joke.
Why did the banker quit his job? He lost interest.
Alexa, tell me another joke. Oh, Alexa, tell me another joke.
Why do ghosts make good cheerleaders? Because they have so much spirit.
Alexa, open the pod bay doors.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that. I'm not Hal and we're not in space.
Alexa, Simon says, thank you for listening to this demo.
Thank you for listening to this.
Alexa, see you later, alligator.
In a while, crocodile.
I just pressed the mute button on the top of the display, on the top of the device. I'll invite you to come over and check her out later. Check out Echo. Echo is a cylinder. It's not quite a foot tall. The top of it is a volume knob, and there are two buttons. One is the mute button, and the other is for turning it on and off. You can tell the tactile difference between one button and the other. Now I think Peter is going to demonstrate the companion app.
The app is it's kind of like a web page. So the top left is go home.
Now playing link, home, link, navigation, landmark. Navigation menu, home, more, science fantastic, podcast on.
So if you click it again, you go back to where you were before.
Personal hotspot, AT&T, navigation menu, link, home, main.
So we're going to go home.
Now playing.
Be quiet. And then we're going to go, I'll just walk you through some of the choices.
Now playing, link, to-do list, zero items, link.
To-do list.
Shopping list, zero items, link, timers, link.
Timers.
Alarms, link, skills, link, your Amazon music library, link.
And you could go into any of these, and let's look at the music library.
Your navigation menu, Amazon Bullet, auto playlists. Imported, link. Purchased, link.
So you've got choices between what you've imported, what you've bought.
Recently added, link, listen, bullet, list start. Your playlists. Music for lovers, link. 20 songs, link, listen, end.
So,
20 songs, link, lit, mute, your book, imported, link, navigation menu, link, Amazon Music, main, landmark. Home, now playing, skills, link.
So we'll go down to tune in.
Your Prime Pandora link, iHeartRadio, Prime Music link, TuneIn link. Navigation menu, browse, local radio, trending, music, talk, sport.
So we've got a lot, just like you would if you were in TuneIn, you have all the possible choices. So I'm going to go down to podcast.
Talk, link, sport, new, by language, link, podcast, link, and back, tune in, podcast,
and then I'm
music,
go down.
Children's music, link.
There's a bunch of music podcasts, but I'm going to go down all the way down.
Blues, link. Children's music, link, cop country, link, easy listening, hip-hop, link, internet, new, old, reggae, link, reggaeton, religion, rock, link. Reggaeton, link, religion,
one of the
rock,
things,
soul and R&B, link, Spanish, specialty,
just too many
top
choices.
40, oral, talk, art, business, link. Conservative, entertainment, health, home and ideas, link, language, learn, news, link, progressive talk, public radio, religion and spirituality,
so much
talk,
choice.
World talk, link, sports. Fantasy sport, NASCAR, link, minor league based NFL, link, college football, Premier League, MLB, link,
and so on. So,
link.
You know, I can.
College football, link, NASCAR, link, fantasy sports, link, sports, world talk, link, science, link.
So I'll pick
back,
science,
tune in.
And then you
science,
can see
science,
there's
choose,
lots of lots
explore,
of choices.
Big picture science, link.
And as soon as you pick one, it'll start playing through your Echo. So you can do it this way, and then once you know the name, you can ask Alexa for that particular item. So that's a brief look at it. I don't have anything in my shopping list right now, but if you did, you could go in and there's a checkbox to the left of each item. So as you buy them, you can just start, you can check that item, and then the delete function shows up to the right of the item, and you can just delete it.
We have a question. Mike is coming to you.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. You sold me. How much is the Alexis and the Echo?
Alexa is the name that you, the word you use to wake it up with. Echo is the actual product. It's the Amazon Echo. And the price, I think, it's still $179.99.
The only thing is, if he gets it and she gets much more better than she is, he won't need me anymore.
I'll always,
you know,
need you.
I don't think Amazon is in a position to comment on that. Okay, if there are no more questions, we will have the tablets up front. Alexa and Echo will be up front. She's not listening right now, which is why I can say, Alexa, Alexa, and nothing happens. So thank you very much for inviting us. And it looks like Louis wants to say a few words.
What I want to say is, Peter, thank you. This is more than I expected. You guys have awesome products. And there's a door prize, but not today. Anyway, folks, did you enjoy it? Let's give him a round of applause. It is good to see that technology does break down barriers, and we have cool people that are willing to do the work to make things accessible. So Peter, as a longtime friend and a person who's benefited from your wisdom, thank you one more time. It's an awesome tool.
It's been our
and
pleasure.
I'm looking forward to getting my hands on one of those tablets. So if you, my birthday is November 19th. If you want to give me one now, I'll be more than happy to accept. So thank you very much. And folks, if you want to look at those, migrate up to the front, and we will be taking care of business. And for those of you listening on the internet, we will be transitioning onto a quick little bit of information for those of you listening to the internet. As people go ahead and do their presentation of the products. So until then, we'll be talking to you soon.